Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
But right now, we're going to talk some Badgers football, maybe even a little Badgers basketball since Chuck and Bart are off. Those guys are Debbie Downers when it comes to Badgers hoops. We welcome in Benjamin Wargle on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, BadgersInsider.com. Ben, how was your Thanksgiving, man? Thanks for giving us some time today.
Oh, good morning. How was your Thanksgiving? Mine was well.
It was all right, man. It was all right, but you know how it goes. I mean, this is a busy, busy week, so sports never stops. And I'd say for the first time ever, I would argue that the Paul Bunyan axe will be the least meaningful thing at stake between Wisconsin and Minnesota. Wisconsin, 12th in the nation. Minnesota, 8th in the nation. I know you've seen both teams play. Is Minnesota a better football team than Wisconsin to you? I mean, on paper, obviously, it says so. They do have the win over Penn State. But when you watch both of these teams play, how similar are they?
Yeah, they're pretty even, to be honest with you, and it's kind of hard to determine who is the better football team right now because their schedules have been so different.
Right.
I mean, Wisconsin has, I think, played a tougher non-conference schedule. Not really that much tougher, but and Minnesota kind of snuck by the skin of their teeth. But certainly in Big Ten play, Minnesota has been a better football team. They have better wins, I think, in my opinion. Their losses aren't as bad. Their one loss, you know, they lose on the road to Iowa by four in a game that Iowa really had to have. You know, I think you can kind of say that's a respectable loss to a degree. You know, I think over the last five games, Minnesota's been the better football team, and that's the more important thing to look at. I mean, Minnesota has, you know, that signature win against Penn State that really caught everyone's attention. You know, they've blown out two bad teams in Maryland and Rutgers. You know, you win at Northwestern last weekend. Wisconsin kind of has been spinning its wheels a little bit the last five games. You know, you certainly had the back-to-back losses against Illinois and Ohio State. They looked that great against Iowa in the fourth quarter, and really defensively, the last two games they have not been playing that well. And I think even offensively last week, you know, you scored 45 points against Purdue, but you looked a little sloppy doing it. So this is going to be an important game for Wisconsin. I think I even tweeted out last week after the game that Wisconsin has to play much better than they did against Purdue and Nebraska if they want to beat Minnesota tomorrow, and I still think that stands true because, I mean, they're two pretty even teams, so those little mistakes will add up in a game like this.
Do you worry at all about distractions for this Wisconsin football team? You know, as you mentioned, you got the two losses on the season, but you go on the road. ESPN's College Game Day is going to be there. I don't think that's a huge distraction, obviously, for Wisconsin since they're on the road. But also, I mean, the winner advances to face Ohio State in the Big Ten title game in Indy coming up on December 7th. You worry at all about this team maybe being a little distracted with it being Thanksgiving week as well?
No, I think this team's ticked off after what happened to them in Madison a year ago where they were outplayed, outclassed in every facet of the way by Minnesota. That's just something that hasn't happened to Wisconsin during that long, you know, 10-plus year winning streak where they just were the team that everything that could go right for them did go right. When they didn't play well, they were able to make those plays to turn the games around. Minnesota would be always would be the one that would be, you know, blowing big leads and untimely turnovers and different things like that. And you know, Wisconsin deserved to lose last year to Minnesota. Minnesota was the better team that day. And I think that the memory of that game and the fact that that trophy case that has been filled with the axe for the, you know, almost a decade and a half, has sat empty for almost the last year. And I think that is a huge motivational factor for this team. And, you know, there's a lot on the line here. You know, the Big Ten West Championship, going to Indianapolis to play Ohio State, you know, potentially a Rose Bowl berth. I mean, there's a lot on the line in this game. But I think the most important thing for Wisconsin is that they want to beat Minnesota. They want to get back what they feel is their property, and they want to play better. They want to start playing better football than kind of what get back to the football that we saw at the beginning of the year where they were just a juggernaut offensively, and defensively they were just really just shutting down teams. We haven't really seen that defense the last 5 weeks.
Talking with Benjamin Wargle here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's funny, though, when we think of Wisconsin, we think of Minnesota. You probably don't think of two high-scoring offenses, but Minnesota runs a lot of spread. They run a lot of run-pass option, and their quarterback, Tanner Morgan's been outstanding. He's almost thrown for 3,000 yards, 26 touchdown passes. Do you expect this to be a high-scoring game or kind of just a defensive battle? And what are the keys for the Badgers really to stop this Minnesota offense? Because they're putting up points.
Yeah, I think if this game's going to be anything, it's going to be more high-scoring than low-scoring. I mean, because you look at the numbers, I mean, both offenses score over 35 points per game. Both get over 430 yards of total offense. You know, Wisconsin runs the ball better than Minnesota. They're averaging 250 on the ground. Minnesota's like around 185, still respectable. Minnesota throws a lot more. They average over 245 through the air. But both teams have been giving up a lot of yards. Minnesota gives up over 300 yards per game. Wisconsin's kind of starting to eke up there at 268. So it's going to be one of those things where you look at what Minnesota's been able to do, and they've been able to spread teams out, and they've been able to attack in different ways. They have two really quality wide receivers. And this will be a test. This will be a test for Wisconsin's secondary, for guys like Fayon Hicks, and for Caesar Williams, and for Eric Burrell, and for Reggie Pearson. It's going to be important for that back-end group to make plays, keep guys in front, and just to get back to that swagger that they had early in the year. Too many big pass plays for Wisconsin here the last couple of weeks, too many missed tackles, things like that that can really hurt you on the road. It could really hurt you against this Minnesota team.
Offensively, Jonathan Taylor has had a huge year, but I feel like it's almost been like kind of a quiet huge year. I mean, he's got over almost 1,700 yards rushing and 18 touchdowns. It's been a record-setting career for him, but I just feel like he's not getting the same hype as some of the quarterbacks, obviously. And I mean, the two losses hurt his case, but, you know, Joe Burrow, we hear a lot about him, and the kid from Ohio State as well. What's going to be the offensive game plan this week against Minnesota? Just a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor, try to keep that offense off the field, would you say?
Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, don't reinvent the wheel here. And I do agree with you with Jonathan Taylor, but I think it's kind of that way because we've seen this before. We saw this as freshman year, and we saw it last year when he won the Dilk Walker. You know, there's a great chance to win it again. But even he's probably not going to run for as many yards as he did his first 2 years. But he's just so consistent. He's just a really talented football player, you know, kind of a once-in-a-generation type football player. And these guys just don't come around all that often, and so you just have to kind of enjoy it while it lasts. And you know, I think, you know, I'm fairly positive we're not going to see Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin uniform next year unless he really, really wants to try to break Ron's record. So, I mean, he's got, you know, at least two games left, maybe three, and you know, you just want to utilize him. I mean, that's the strength of this team. Jack Cohn has done a nice job, in my opinion, this year leading the offense. You know, there's been some hiccups along the way. There's been some poor performances, you know, certainly the Ohio State game, but was a performance all around. But, you know, he's 15 touchdowns to four picks is a great ratio for Jack. I think he's been very calm under pressure to a degree. He hasn't made many forced throws that have led to bad plays, which is something we've seen in past years from him and from other quarterbacks. So there has to be a balance with Wisconsin. It can't just be Jonathan Taylor all the time. Wisconsin needs to stretch the field a little bit. And I think that's part of the thing that has been lacking this year with Wisconsin. Is they really haven't thrown a lot of deep passes, even a lot of intermediate passes. You just can't let a defense sit on Jonathan Taylor in the short passing game. So I think Wisconsin needs to stretch the field a little bit more, get those really talented wide receivers they have involved. That's good. That's what's going to make this offense work, because when you can start throwing the ball to all three levels, that's really going to open up the defense to prevent them from sitting in the box, and that's good news for Jonathan Taylor.
If you had to make a prediction for this game, what are you going with? Wisconsin-Minnesota coming up tomorrow, 2:30 p.m.
Man, just based on what we've seen recently, I think that this is a game that Minnesota is probably going to win. If nothing really changes with Wisconsin defensively, that scares me a little bit, because Minnesota has just been rolling this season with their point totals. They have a lot of momentum. They don't have the skeleton, I should say the pink elephant in the room with them not winning the axe. They feel extremely confident in this game that they can win the axe, and you know, it's going to be at home for them. It's going to be a great atmosphere with College Game Day. Going to be there for the first time ever. Doing something that Minnesota hasn't done before, which is win the West Division and go to Indianapolis in the Big Ten title game. Weather could be a factor, 38 degrees, and there could be some snow, rain, snow in the mix. So I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere, but I think Minnesota is going to feed off that. If I had a pick, I would say Minnesota is going to win the game.
Really quickly, I wanted to touch on Badgers basketball because the turnovers have been ridiculous. I mean, they lose games to Richmond. They lose a game to New Mexico over the week, 59-50. What are your thoughts on the early season for the Badgers and Greg Gard mainly?
Really inconsistent, certainly. You go from the highest of highs last week with your balance and your success against Marquette and Green Bay. You have six guys scoring in double figures. You have a lot of guys shooting the ball off from three-point range to a tournament where you lose to back-to-back mid-majors and you average 51 points. Something has to change, and I don't necessarily believe that is the coaching staff at this point. I think this team needs to get tougher. I think that they were way too passive shooting the ball over the weekend. I think they need to find better looks. I think they need to get to the paint more. I think they need to be more physical in the paint. And they have to get to the free throw line more. This just cannot be a jump shooting team. And you just can't run the same old style of offense, too. You need to kind of jazz it up a little bit at times when things aren't working like they weren't this weekend. So, I mean, there's kind of blame to go around everywhere, from the coaching staff down to the last man on the bench. They have to play better, and they have to find ways to generate offense. And sometimes when your Wisconsin way isn't working, you need to find a different way to kind of catch teams off guard and to try to get some more energy going. I thought there was a real lack of energy, a real lack of toughness over the weekend. But, you know, they're off until Wednesday where they're going to go to NC State and play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I think that this week there's going to be a lot of eyes looking in to try to figure out how we can, as a team, generate more offense, generate more chances. Because when the three-point shot isn't falling for this team, they really seem to struggle. And that's not going to work in Big Ten play.
Right. I already find myself like looking ahead to the future. Do you think if those recruiting classes, because 2021, 2022, I mean, those recruiting classes are top classes in the nation. Do you think if those classes aren't coming in that Gard keeps his job?
I don't, if Gard would have signed the worst class in the Big Ten going into next season, my gut says he would still get another year.
Okay.
Just because I have a hard time seeing it, unless the bottom really falls out this year, that Gard wouldn't get another year. But I think if they don't play well, and if they're really inconsistent and they don't make the tournament, I think Gard will enter next season squarely on the hot seat. And then after the 2020-2021 season, maybe we can have this conversation about, oh, he's, you know, whether or not he'll get fired. I still think he has at least this year and next year to kind of get things going in the right direction, because he did get, you know, a very, very talented recruiting class, best recruiting class Wisconsin's ever signed. You know, they're going to have a lot of these guys back next year. I know some people are going to say, well, that's the perfect time to make a coaching change because the cupboard's full. I still think you have to give Gard a little bit more time. I know that's going to really rattle some people. But just from looking at an athletic department point of view, I don't think they make a move this season unless things really go south.
Ben, thanks a lot, man. Enjoy your weekend. Have a great holiday weekend.
All right, you too.
Thanks a lot. That was Benjamin Wargle. You could find his work at BadgersInsider.com. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.